Hey there, this is Sammy Nisbet, and you're listening to Late in Life Lesbian. Well, I've broken a promise by saying that I'd be podcasting each week, and here it is almost 2 months later, and I haven't done one single episode. I know, I'm in trouble, and I'm really sorry. So enough of the apologies. Life's been pretty interesting since September. I'll start with our move. We are all adjusting to the Gady Bunch lifestyle in the only way that we know how, and that is through food, electronic cigarettes, and a more than occasional drink. I guess in comparison to the animals, I'd say we humans are functioning quite well as a family. Of course, with six people in the house now, hiring a cleaning lady did help. Then there's my addiction that I haven't spoken about, and I'll talk about it now. There's my addiction that my family's had to contend with. Yes, I have been addicted to politics. It happens every 4 years, and my wife usually isn't happy about it. I end up becoming glued to MSNBC and the New York Times and the Huffington Post. I'm like a crack addict. I get the shakes if I don't have political programming on. Nobody can talk if I'm reading or if I've got the television on, and I just have made life miserable for everyone around here. Now, one thing I found out about politics is that social networking can rapidly cool friendships during any political season. I think you really get to see a person's true colors through Facebook. Quite honestly, I hate Facebook, although you wouldn't know it by the amount of time that I spend on it. But I guess it's that necessary evil. I used to refer to my ex-husband as the necessary evil, because without him, maybe I wouldn't have the two kids that I have right now who are amazing. But anyway, back to Facebook, the necessary evil. The pros of it are, for me, are that it helps me to promote my comedy shows, and I get to try out new material by throwing one-liners in my status, and if people react positively, then I know that maybe I can use it in a set. But it also keeps me in touch with the family and friends that I care to keep in touch with. But that's about it. Part of me wishes it never existed, because I think people tend to become much more offensive much faster than they would face-to-face. Maybe that's a good thing because you can weed out those idiots faster, but I don't think so. So as much as I am an addict to politics, I try to stay away from posting too much on Facebook about my political beliefs. I kind of learned 4 years ago that I don't like the debate with people. I'm kind of the mindset that if I share an article and you agree with me, then read it and pass it along if you want. And if you don't agree, move on. Just ignore it. I don't go on other people's Facebook pages and contradict them or try to debate them if they have an opposing view. I think it's common courtesy, and I respect people's opinions. They have a right to that. So, now I have a friend who I've known for about 12 years through teaching, and she knows everything about my life, who I'm with, you know, who I live with, and, you know, that we're married in South Africa. We're married, not in the great state of New Jersey, no. But anyway, recently she's been saying that she doesn't know who she didn't know who she was going to vote for, but she was leaning toward Romney because she did not like the way the economy was going. And in the back of my mind, it kind of concerned me, but she was pretty passionate about what she was saying. And in my mind, the election was about so many issues on the line. And, you know, we had women's rights, we have marriage equality, education, affordable health care, immigration. And yeah, there's the economy, which, in my opinion, is slowly getting better. So when the topic came up face to face with my friend, I kind of understood her position, and we changed the subject for the sake of the friendship. So fast forward a couple weeks later, after the second debate, I found an article on the New York Times, and it was pretty middle of the road, but it had to do with both candidates' investments in companies overseas. And I posted the article, and all I wrote was, interesting. That's it. So another comedian got on my Facebook wall and commented, and she was pretty vocally in opposition to Mitt Romney. And then my Republican friend posted a comment in favor of Romney. So I could kind of see that this was going to go down a path that I didn't intend for it to go down. So I just jumped in and I commented that I didn't want to start a debate, that if you agree with it, read it and share it, and if not, move on. But I also did mention in that the election was about more than just one issue for me. And I thought that would be enough to stop the comments, but my Republican friend continued to just blast me with comments. So finally, I took the post down after a few minutes, and she messaged me privately saying that she didn't mean to offend anyone. But I was already upset at that point, and I replied to her by saying that I was upset, but in ways that I just couldn't articulate at the moment. The truth of the matter was, I could articulate them. I just didn't think that she was worth articulating them to. Because here's the thing, she knows I'm gay, and she knows that the Republican agenda is very anti-gay. And she has a right to her opinion, but each time she publicly blasted me with a comment, she basically said to me that my civil and human rights meant nothing to her. And the way I see it is like this. My Republican friend struggles with weight issues. How would she feel if somebody went on her Facebook wall and blasted New Jersey's Governor Chris Christie about his weight and didn't bother to comment about his policies? She also has a brother with Down syndrome. How would she feel if somebody went on her Facebook wall knowing about her brother and said that Governor Chris Christie's policies were retarded? Because that's a term that people use all the time without recognizing the impact. And I don't know, it's common courtesy. Now, my wife had a similar situation occur when her ex-sister-in-law was on Facebook. And they were Facebook friends. And right around the Chick-fil-A fiasco, her ex-sister-in-law posted a picture of their entire family with big bags of Chick-fil-A food. And the most offensive part of that is that this woman is my stepson's favorite aunt. He spends every vacation at their home in Kentucky. So he got to basically see firsthand his favorite aunt giving the middle finger to his own mother. Now, of course, my wife, with her balls of steel, quite vocally wrote a status regarding what she felt about people like her ex-sister-in-law. And she left it up there with enough time for her ex-sister-in-law to read it. And then my wife deleted the friendship. And I was thinking just how easy life would be if we could just press the delete button on people that are like that. But life is not that simple in all cases. And as far as online offensiveness goes, there are just so many people who do this without hesitation or just say stuff before they even think. And when my friend did it to me, my friend of 12 years, I was pretty broken up about it. But that's all I want to say about that. I want to move on. As far as my... I found the perfect cure for my political addiction. And that ended up coming in the form of a hurricane. So we were hit by Hurricane Sandy. And while we're not near the Jersey Shore, we were without power for 8 days, and I guess that's the best way to test how well a new family is going to get along by stripping them of their basic necessities for over a week. And I'm happy to report that we all came out in one piece. We managed to eat like kings because we were trying to cook up all the food from the freezers before it spoiled. We did end up losing about $300 or so worth of food, but that's replaceable. And we huddled around the fireplace for quite a while. We had sing-alongs with the neighbors and things like that. All that kind of kumbaya stuff. That kind of wore off, though, after the first couple of days. But we also managed to avert disaster when I accidentally left one of the burners on and it was unlit and the house filled with gas. And we had gone out to the movies and my one son ended up staying home. Fortunately, there were no candles lit and the fire had gone out in the fireplace. So my ex-husband did get wind of that error and had quite a lot to say to the kids about that. Kind of along the lines of, you know, it would have been okay if you guys were out of the house and everybody else was left in the house to die. But he's not one for using tact when he's speaking about me in front of the kids. But oh well, maybe it's sour grapes. We ended up buying a generator. Of course, we bought it on the last day that we were without power. And I am happy to report that I learned how to hook up the generator to my furnace and to my parents' furnace. So we actually had real heat in the house for the last 24 hours. Another thing, I also learned how to hook the furnaces back up to the main house when the electricity came back on. I have one word of advice, and I found this out the hard way. Make sure you turn off the main power source before you reconnect anything that's electrical. I think I probably have a few more gray hairs on my head than when I originally started out. But all in all, I guess in addition to becoming a makeshift electrician and a pioneer, because somebody had to keep that fireplace lit the whole week, I kind of felt like Laura Ingalls, I discovered something really important for all of us lesbos. I realized that I had my smartphone, and my smartphone had unlimited data, and I have Hulu Plus, and I have Netflix on my iPhone, and I found this fabulous television series from the BBC, and it's called Lip Service, and this happens to be Scotland's steamy answer to the L word. I have to say, it is a must-see. You can get it for free. There are only 2 seasons so far. And it's phenomenal. Now, like I said, you can watch it on Netflix or on Hulu, and you don't want to miss it. Let me just put it this way. It's a series that will definitely keep you warm, even on the coldest of nights. At this point, I want to take a minute to read a letter that I received a couple of days ago that meant a lot to me. A person emailed me from the website lateinlifelesbian.org. And I'll call her A, but she wrote a note noticing that I had not podcasted in a while and wondered if I was going to continue. So I wrote back and I said that I would be posting, but we were kind of pummeled by the storm and the move took a little more time than I had anticipated. So she wrote back. I don't know if it's a she, maybe it's a he. I'm assuming it's a she. So A wrote back and said, I just wanted to say that I'm glad I found your podcast. As you described yourself searching message boards and Craigslist, I realized that's what I've been doing with podcasts. Logically, I know I'm not alone in my situation, but actually hearing someone else speak parts of my own story out loud was unexpectedly moving. So thank you for putting yours out there. It made me feel very much less alone than I did yesterday. I want to, first of all, say thank you to A. I am eternally grateful that you're listening and that my process can help you. Sometimes I wonder if what I'm doing here means anything to anyone else, and your note lets me know that I can make someone feel a little comfort. And I think it's so important to realize that there are so many of us who feel so very alone in this process. And even though we can rationalize that there must be other people out there, all of our situations are very, very unique. And yes, in a sense, while we're alone in our individual experiences, there are so many of us who can understand. I remember when my whole world came crashing down, as I was coming out, and I felt as if I had no friends or family who could really relate to what I was going through. I had straight friends who felt badly for me. And I started making friends in the gay community who saw my struggle but hadn't gone through a large portion of their lives in the closet. And they couldn't kind of grasp the complexity of the situation. This is a whole process of rebuilding. And there are a lot of unforeseeable obstacles. Even 6 years later, I'm still working through this whole reconstruction of my life. I'm still working on deconditioning myself of my old belief systems. And if that's not a challenge in and of itself, there's the whole deconditioning of family and friends and, Jesus, society, which is an undertaking that I now realize isn't mine to tackle. And that's the scary part. I can only attempt to work on myself. I don't have control over anyone else's belief systems. So I guess it's just a matter of time and patience and finding support wherever it is that you can. And that's why I'm here. For you and for me. So ultimately, you're not alone. And this is this journey for us is a weird juxtaposition of that overwhelming joy to be able to let go and start over, next to that insurmountable fear of how we're going to live our new lives in a society which is still not as accepting as it should be. But all in all, it's worth it. It's difficult. It's really difficult, but it's worth every ounce of the fight. And speaking of the fight, today's Veterans Day. And I think it's very appropriate to express my gratitude, not only for the veterans who fought for our country, but especially for the gay and lesbian soldiers who can now openly serve in our military. Think about what they've had to put up with and what they fought for and what they won for all of us. Those soldiers, their lives on the line, not only for every single citizen of our country, but for those of us who have to fight for our human and for our civil rights. So thank you. Well, my friends, that's it for now. All I have to say is this. Barack Obama won. Marriage equality is passed in a few more states. Tammy Baldwin became first openly gay U.S. senator. And speaking of women, we now have more women in the Senate. And those are good things. I have my power back in my house. My cats haven't killed each other yet. And these are good things. Oh, P.S. My Republican friend's Facebook status on election night read, "Nauseating." And that made me happy. Thank you so much for listening, and I will be back. Don't hesitate to email me at lateinlifelesbian@gmail.com. You can call with comments at 973-348-5069, or you can visit the website, which is in desperate need of being updated, at www.lateinlifelesbian.org. Thank you so much for listening to Late in Life Lesbian.